Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I don't know why I just repeated everything the big voice guy said. I'm supposed to just get on going. And I, you know, thank you, Mr. Big Voice Guy. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you were able to do whatever it is you love doing. Hope you're able to spend time with your family and enjoy life. Hopefully you were able to do that this weekend. Appreciate you joining me this afternoon. We have a lot to get into. Do want to start by just saying, Bills looked good yesterday. And, you know, there are some people who they try to write a media review segment and think they're a sportscaster. They talked about the boring Bills game. Who cares? The Bills won. And I didn't think it was overly boring. James Cook, over 100 yards rushing. Yeah, Josh Allen didn't do much. You know why? Because Josh Allen didn't need to do much. Like, I don't watch the Bills going, oh, how are Josh's fantasy numbers? I don't care. Even if it was on my fantasy team, I wouldn't care. Like, it's Bills first, and then I'll look at my fantasy team, which is awful. You know, so Josh Allen didn't have to put himself out there, didn't have to. He did get his nose broken. But beside that, he, it was a very time management game. Yep, Matt Prater, the guy who was sitting on a couch 2 weeks ago. The team looked good. And good thing that they didn't leave the game completely out of breath because they have a game in just a few days. They play Thursday night at the stadium against Miami. And now, Tanner, I don't know if you saw this, but Mike McDaniels did give some words of wisdom over the weekend. And before we get into other stuff I want to talk about, I do want to make sure this gets on the show because this is very important. And this isn't just for football guys. What you're about to hear is great advice for life. This is Miami Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10. And then you find yourself at second and 20.
That's right. So to win the games, you have to win the game, not lose the game. So that's very powerful stuff from Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel, who is on the hot seat. And they come into Buffalo 0-2. You know, Brian Mazurowski said yesterday, and he's absolutely right. The problem with the Bills schedule after the Ravens game, there's no, at this point, now, we'll see what the Falcons do, but at this point, there's no game that you point to and go, wow, the Bills beat so-and-so. Like, every game on the schedule for the next month or so is, well, yeah, they should beat the Dolphins. Oh, yeah, they should beat the Saints. Like, there's really no, oh my God, the Bills beat who game? I mean, really, until the Chiefs, if you think about it, and they're 0-2. You got the Bengals. They're going to be without Joe Burrow when they visit Buffalo. I mean, if you think about it, the Bills, should be the favorite in every game until they play the Eagles. Now, am I crazy for saying that? Are they going to trip up? Maybe. But you look at the schedule. This is a very favorable schedule. Again, I think the Chiefs are going to get it together. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be... You know, last time they were 0-2, they missed the playoffs. I don't think the Chiefs are missing the playoffs. I just want to make sure that... They'll get it together. They're not the kind of team that's going to go 0-2 and start falling apart. You know, some teams go 0-3 and start falling apart, but that's a different discussion. That's going to be a big game at Highmark Stadium. But these next few games, again, you can't look past them. It's the NFL. Anyone can win on any day. But there's not really that game that you're going to get excited that the Bills won. That was the Ravens. And now you've got, again, every game's important. In division games, yeah, they hold a little more importance. But until that Chiefs game, man, it's just like, yeah, they should have won. I mean, we'll get excited. We're Bills fans. We'll get excited for every game. But this early schedule after the Ravens game, kind of a gift for the Buffalo Bills. Like I said, anything can happen, right? The Falcons might be better than people say. We'll see. I don't think the Saints are going to be great this year. The Bucs, I mean, obviously Baker Mayfield. Tampa Bay is not going to be an easy game. But again, you expect the Bills to win it. So that's that. That was good cap on the weekend. The Bills taking care of business in New Jersey. Great game for James Cook. And again, the Bills for the 24th straight game won the turnover battle. And we'll see if they can do that. Thursday night football. The great thing about this schedule, Tanner, which I did not have, I could not do with the old schedule. Great thing about the schedule is the Bills can play at 8 o'clock on a Thursday and I don't have to take the next day off. So I'm pretty happy about that too with this new schedule. And it'll be the final night of me being 36 as Friday. I guess 36 is your late 30s, but Friday I officially enter my late 30s. Lots of stuff, obviously, happened over the weekend. And I've got to say, I put this out on X. You can follow me at the Joe Beamer. I put this out on Friday. And I want to say, I know most teachers are great teachers. They care about the kids. They care about making sure they are prepared for the next grade, the next step in life. I have teachers in my family. I don't think I would be where I am today without some of the incredible teachers I had at Amherst Central High School. And I mean that. So with that said, it is very disturbing how many educators are celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. You know, my son is 2. He'll be going to school in no time. And, you know, I hear these stories of what these individuals are saying on their social media. Now, you do have some that are saying, Charlie Kirk was for freedom of speech. This is freedom of speech. Yeah, you have the freedom to say it. No one's arresting you for the vile comments you're making on social media. But as I've said, you have the freedom of speech. Your employer has the freedom to not want to be associated with you. If you are an employer, why would you want to be associated with someone who is celebrating the death of someone just because they don't agree with them? It's disgusting. It makes me sick to my stomach all over again. And we're seeing this locally. Several teachers. We'll start here. This one from Channel 2. Western New York teacher placed on leave following social media post about Charlie Kirk in Leroy, New York. Leroy, New York. A Western New York teacher has been placed on administrative leave in connection to a series of social media posts following Charlie Kirk's shooting death earlier this week. The superintendent for the Leroy Central School District posted a message on the district's website. It included a message from the teacher as well, calling the post inappropriate, inflammatory, and offensive. Superintendent said the district learned of the social media post about the killing of the Turning Point USA founder on Thursday. These posts use disparaging language to describe Mr. Kirk's supporters. We met with the teacher this morning before the school day began to discuss our concerns about the post. The teacher immediately expressed regret and informed us that the social media account had already been deleted. The superintendent said a difference of opinion is fine, but standards when it comes to conduct must be met. The teacher has acknowledged that the posts do not reflect the conduct or professionalism. Here's what I have to say. But you put it on. You put it online. And if I've learned anything, you put something on for 30 seconds, you've put it out there. And like it already just bothers me. And again, shows where we are in this country that you have people who are even thinking that. Who are even thinking the things that these people are saying. Like that to me, it's heartbreaking, and it shows that we are at a very divisive time in America, in a dark time in America. The fact that these thoughts are even going through people's heads. Again, I was young when Bill Clinton was president, but I did not agree with President Obama on almost anything. I didn't even agree with his NCAA, Final Four brackets. But again, he was the president of the United States. He's a fellow American. We don't agree on politics. You know, that's that. Like, I never would have a thought of hating someone because I didn't like their politics. Same goes with Hillary Clinton. I do not agree with Hillary Clinton's politics. I think she was an awful senator from New York. I mean, you can even go further to some of the stuff that she said about Monica Lewinsky. Even though, it turned out that what Monica Lewinsky was saying was true. Even with all that, again, I don't hate the woman. I disagree strongly with her politics and think that her being president would not have been the direction that I think the country needs to go in, right? And the same goes for Joe Biden. When Joe Biden was diagnosed with cancer, I genuinely felt bad for him. Because again, I don't like his politics. I think it was, 50 years of awful politics. But he's a person. He has a family. And I wish Joe Biden nothing but the best. It breaks my heart that he has cancer. I don't want the guy to suffer. You know what I mean? And I assume that that's how everyone feels, that we have these differences of opinions. But deep down we know, well, everyone at the end of the day is human. And they deserve respect. They deserve not to be killed for their opinion. I know that a majority of Americans feel the way I feel. If you disagree with me or agree with me, a majority of Americans feel the way I feel about Charlie Kirk. I saw one of the most, how I feel, divisive people I know on social media. I even saw them post something about how awful it was and how dark of a day in America it is. And, good. I'm glad that we can agree on this, right? Because this isn't politics. Charlie Kirk is not politics. It's human decency. And again, it's something I keep on saying. It's a time where we should all be coming together as a country. And unfortunately, we're right back to the divisiveness. And it's really heartbreaking. So we have the Leroy situation, right? And then social media posts sparked Niagara County School investigation. This from I want to make sure I got the right story here. The Wilson Central School District launched a formal investigation in connection to a staff member's social media comments. The district posted a letter on its Facebook page. The superintendent said the district responded immediately and launched an investigation in alignment with our core values of kindness, empathy, and compassion. These principles are not only central to our mission, but are the foundation of the example we strive to set for our students. They promise a fair and comprehensive review. Well, let's go on. This just coming into our newsroom, another member of a Western New York school district is accused of making concerning social media posts in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. The Louport School District sent a letter to the community saying they are addressing the situation and taking the matter very seriously. Here's the letter. This is an hour ago. Dear Lewiston Porter. Oh, that's what Louport stands for. Dear Lewiston Porter School Community, the Lewiston Porter Central School District was recently made aware of social media activity involving a staff member that has raised concerns within our school community. Please be assured that we take these concerns seriously and are committed to addressing the matter promptly and thoroughly in accordance with district policies. Our district is grounded in the core values of kindness, respect, integrity, empathy, and compassion. Yada, yada, yada. Let me just say this. I don't care if you think all my opinions are completely wrong. And I don't care if you are the most liberal-leaning person or the most, you know, right-leaning person. If you are celebrating the death of anyone, I don't want you teaching my child. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like if you can't control yourself and you can't stop yourself from putting that kind of vile stuff on social media, then I can only guess the crap that comes out of your mouth during an average school day. Again, I go back to when I was in school. Most of my teachers didn't say a word of politics, but guess what? There were some that did. And we're not even talking about, you know, social studies or government. I had a math teacher that would bring up politics. A math teacher that would bring up politics because they had such a hatred of George W. Bush. So, again, I don't care where you stand politically. If you're a good teacher, you're a good teacher. But I do think if you're giving your political opinion in a form like a classroom. Now, again, I had a government teacher. She was great. She let, you know, she always would let me give one side of the opinion. That's fine. And she had other students that were leaning to the left, and they gave their opinion. I have nothing but respect for that teacher. It went with the topic. It was a government class. But if you are, again, and you want to go on social media and talk about how much you don't like Trump, or, hey, I'm at a protest, whatever. But when you're dancing on the grave of someone and the things you're saying, again, that shows me you are not good at decision making. And again, I can only imagine what you are saying to your classroom. So, again, I'm not Mr. Cancel Culture, right? I'm not, hey, go find something they posted 6 years ago when they were in college. But I am for decency. And I think decency is something that should be taught by example in schools. And yeah, I have no problem with these districts getting rid of people that are celebrating an assassination on their social media. And, you know, to those that you might say got caught up in the moment, you know, getting caught up in the moment, I don't know. That's a lot different than making a video of you dancing or saying just vile things because someone that you didn't agree with politically was assassinated. I want to know what you think about this. 803-0930, *930. Did I take it overboard? Again, most teachers are great. I have teachers in my family. I live with a teacher. Kyle in Amherst is a great teacher. I can just tell by he's a great guy. Right? He calls into the show regularly. There are great teachers out there. Most, 99% great, amazing people. They have dedicated their life to teaching children. God bless them. But if you can't control your reaction, or if your reaction is, I'm going to post celebration of the assassination of someone I didn't agree with politically, then you know what? I don't think you're the right person to be teaching the class. What do you think? 803-0930, starting 30, back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Eyes without a face, got no human grace. Your eyes without a face.
Oh, Billy Idol kicking off Monster Ballads Week here on the Joe Beamer Show. Another great compilation from the 90s, Monster Ballads. It was a 2-CD set. Last week, I sent this to Tanner and said, we got to incorporate this next. So Tanner's got the 2-CD listing and kicks it off with Billy Idol here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope you're having a great Monday, Victory Monday here after the Bills beat the Jets. And talking about the ongoing reaction. Again, I have to say, you know, I'm in this business. I, you know, talk with a lot of callers. By the way, if you want to call, 803-0930, star 930. I genuinely would like to know your reaction. If there's any teachers, any former teachers out there, when you hear of an educator saying this kind of stuff on their social media, again, I don't care if you disagree with everything I say. That's fine. I love that you're still listening to the show. I do. I mean, I want people of different opinions to be involved in this show. I think I've made that pretty clear because I think that's how we come together. Coming together, and I think this is how some people misunderstand. Coming together is understanding that we don't see things the same politically, right? And being okay with that. That's coming together. You know, And I think it's important. I heard Bill Maher talk about it over the weekend. I mean, Bill Maher's calling out Democrats. John Fetterman's calling out Democrats. And we'll get to that in a second. But I genuinely would want to know, at 803-0930, star 930. And again, you can disagree with my political beliefs. That's fine. But your reaction when you hear of, you know, teachers. I mean, I just read off 4 locally that have been put on leave for post-celebrating Charlie Kirk's death on social media. I mean, when you hear that, I mean, does that not make you have pause? Like, oh, wait a minute. I mean, if this is what you're putting on social media, what are you saying to my kid, right? And again, like I said, if you're just tuning in, disclaimer, I think most teachers are amazing people. I mean, these are people who dedicate their life to educating children, to getting the next generation ready, right? I mean, I have teachers in my family. I don't know how many times I have to say that. I live with a teacher, for crying out loud. But when I see this and I see how many educators either at the elementary school, middle school, high school, college level, to me that is, it's concerning. And like I said, I don't care if you as a teacher are the most liberal or the most conservative. That doesn't bother me. What I want is when you're in the classroom, maybe just don't bring it up, right? I don't, you're not there to teach my kid your political opinion. You're there to teach them the ABCs or mathematics or American history. Like I said, I love the way my government teacher taught government class. She let us all have a voice. And that's how it should be. You know, so I am not Mr. Cancel Culture. But you have someone in here, you have someone on social media talking about how, you know, celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, some of the things these people said, I mean, it's just disgusting. Like, I'm sorry, yeah, I don't want you teaching my kid. And I'm sure you regret it. I believe me, I would regret something too. But the problem is, do you regret it because he got caught? Or do you honestly now realize what you said 2 days ago was in very poor taste, and again, is part of the problem in today's political landscape? Either way, I don't want you teaching my kid, because I can just imagine what is in your lesson plan if you are that blinded by your politics. 803-0930, starting 30. Scott in Williamsville saying that, Scott, thanks for hanging on.
Thank you, Joe. I called you yesterday during Hardline. I know it's difficult, but I think you were a little soft on Kennedy, but that's another issue.
Hey, I appreciate the criticism, Scott. And you know what? I'm sure a majority of the audience agrees with you, and I apologize if I let anyone down.
Well, you don't have to apologize. Don't take it as criticism. But I really want to know, if you let this play out, you know, what is cancel culture? All right? So if, God forbid, any one of us or a loved one is a victim of something, and you find out that this person had been arrested, you know, or had abused or whatever, you know, is it okay that you didn't call them out earlier because you were, you know, didn't want to say anything? I mean, I have no problem. Whatever happens to somebody based on what they do, their actions, is their issue. You know, you can't go for a job without them doing a background on you, and, you know, they're going to decide whether to hire you or not. And I'll give you an example. This, you know, I live in Amherst. 13 cars, you know, I think it was about a month ago, right? 4 teens were arrested. I thought the problem was solved. Then you had 13 cars, you know, 3 weeks later. It's ridiculous. So this person with these burglaries, I say follow the judge. Because I need to know if this judge is going to let him out to do this again. So it's ridiculous. So if a teacher who we're paying for, you know, this is, you can have your views and whatever, and I'm not associated with you, and, you know, you're going to have to live with yourself. But if our tax dollars are paying this person and they have these views and nobody can be in the classroom, unless you want to put cameras in the classroom, which I'm all for too. So I think it's a fine line of what you can and cannot call somebody out on. But if it becomes an issue or a shooting or a death, I mean, Page and Gentry, right? Cops were at his house. Everybody knows. Everyone always seems to know, yeah, you know, this guy acted this way or posted this stuff. It's always after the fact that it comes out, which I don't think the law should protect that. So that's just my thought.
So, I mean, Scott, you're talking about the shooter?
No, I'm just talking in general. I have no problem if somebody is going for a job and has views and we're found out about it. What I'm not for is protecting somebody, or you can't call somebody out. I mean, we're all outraged when these guys are walking free, but nobody comments on the judge that let them go or the politicians that voted for, you know, well, if a judge says, hey, based on the law, this is what I had to do. Nobody ever knows the names of who's letting these people walk out. So if a teacher wants to do something, you know what? Let me know his name. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the teachers, like I said, I mean, I want you to teach the curriculum, like, in your own way. But if your curriculum is, you know, Trump is Hitler, and you're teaching that to my kid, like, that's not what we're paying taxes for, right? That you're not paid to give your political opinion to a classroom of students, and that's where I get a problem.
Right, I understand, but I'm saying I'm taking it all the way out there.
Yeah.
The people that were, or the gentleman that was arrested for the break-ins in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I want to know. I want to know what the prosecution's saying, and I want to know what the judge is doing, because I'm sick and tired of, you know, a drunk driver. Oh, you know, he's had four DUIs, and he was out, you know, a week later, and he did it again.
Well, the problem with that,
nobody says anything more.
The problem with that is the problem with our politics, right? Because judges are going to say that their hands are tied, and then you have Kathy Hochul telling the judges to do better. No one, when really, I mean, it could be Albany could reform the reform, and, you know, judges could look at their options. That's a great example of what's wrong in today's politics.
Exactly.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the call. Scott in Williamsville, 803-0930, *930. I'm, you know, cancel culture was canceling people who didn't agree with you, right? And calling, you know, calling people out for something they posted 10, 15 years ago, okay? When they were, you know, in high school or college. I do think there's a difference with this person 2 days ago was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. If I'm an employer, I don't want that person associated with my company, right? Again, you have the freedom to say whatever vile thing you want to say. Your employer has the freedom to not want to associate with you. And, you know, if you own a business, customers have the right, have a freedom to not use your product anymore. And that goes both ways, right? Like, if I owned a business, I probably would be very, I would not be as opinionated as I am now. And that's just the way it is. But to me, what's disturbing is the people who are with our kids. And again, not most of them, right? A very, very small number. But it is disturbing of the accounts that we have seen throughout the nation, how many of them have been involved in education somehow. That's what's concerning to me. As someone who is just a few years away from putting his kid into school. And, you know, like I said, I'm a product of public school. I love public schools. I loved my teachers, most of them. It was actually great to catch up with a teacher from sixth grade at the fair. Great guy. Loved talking with him. Most of my teachers are awesome people, and they're the reason that I'm here today in front of this microphone. But again, what we saw over the last few days was very disturbing. And I'll leave you with one more. We read just some of the Western New York ones, and David talked about this earlier. This is in Canada, in Scarborough, where a teacher allegedly showed the Charlie Kirk assassination video to 10 and 11-year-olds and told students he deserved to be killed. A public school teacher has been suspended after allegedly showing a video of Charlie Kirk's assassination to students as young as 10 in his class, authorities in Canada said. The teacher also suggested that Kirk deserved to be killed and gave the young students a speech about anti-fascism and transgender issues, according to a report. That's criminal. That individual does not belong back in the classroom. Okay, I will take a stand. That guy does not deserve to be a teacher. I mean, you're showing the video of someone being assassinated. Shame on that person. And again, shame on the people who have created this thing where it's everywhere. Right? And again, social media, I talked about it on Friday, is a cancer. And Carl Calabrese was talking about the algorithms. And he's right. He's right. You keep going down this path of just extreme opinions, And now your whole algorithm is extreme opinions. The problem is we have members in elected office who are using those buzzwords, like I talked about, fascism, Nazi, Hitler, all these things. And then that's getting put into the algorithm. So you're on these, you're down this extreme, this extremist rabbit hole, right? And you're seeing, you know, Trump is a fascist, Trump is a Nazi, you know, J.D. Vance. And then you see Eric Swalwell. Oh, because he's tweeted something that called Trump a fascist. So you're down what is a very extremism path, but you're seeing members of Congress pop up in your algorithm saying the crap, feeding you the crap, and you're starting to believe it. You're putting it on signs. You're going to protest. What are you protesting? Fascism. You really believe Trump is a fascist? Yes. Because you've spent hours and hours in an echo chamber that is telling you Trump and Elon Musk and J.D. Vance, these are awful people. Elon Musk did the Heil sign. No, he didn't. But you have people who are convinced of it because you have these radical bloggers all over social media. And like I said, you might be able to say to yourself, man, these all seem like really extreme accounts. But again, then Joe Biden says something at a press at that, you know, speech he gave in Philadelphia, or Eric Swalwell, or Adam Schiff, and you're like, well, these are members of Congress. These aren't extreme. I mean, they're extreme, but this isn't like some extremist blogger, and it just plays into that algorithm. So then, when you log into social media, all you're getting are all these articles that are confirming your belief that the president of the United States is killing democracy, is a Nazi, is the next Hitler, and is a fascist. But yet, how do we address that? How do we address that? Because just yesterday, Eric Swalwell was back to calling Donald Trump Putin. So are we just, is it all talk? When you say you want to lower the temperature, you want to change the rhetoric? Oh, it's Trump's job, right? That's what J.P. Pritzker said. It's Trump. Trump needs to lower the rhetoric. Trump needs to turn down the temperature. So no self responsibility for the rhetoric in this country. No looking in the mirror and saying, hey, maybe it's me. Or maybe I need to talk to my side. You heard yesterday on Hardline, you heard Congresswoman Claudia Tenney say that she would like to see a moment between the speaker and the minority leader. You heard Congressman Kennedy say along the same lines. But then, you know, I go to Twitter, I turn on C-SPAN, and you're just back to the same divisive rhetoric that we were at Wednesday morning. So is anything going to change? Do you want unity? I honestly, genuinely, I can tell you I'd like unity. I would. I'd like to be able to say, I think Mark Poloncarz is an awful county executive, and for him to still come on this show and tell me why I'm wrong. I'd like to be able to say, Sean Ryan is nowhere to be seen on the campaign trail, and Sean Ryan to still come on the show and tell me why I'm wrong. Unity. I don't judge people based on their politics. Okay, we don't think politically the same way. Yes, I've been very critical of the county executive who's never in the county. I've been very critical of Sean Ryan, who was pushed over the finish line by the Erie County Democrat Party. And unfortunately, it seems the people who are running politics can't separate politics and, you know, everything else. Everything, you know, you got to be identified by your politics. Let me tell you, I am not identified by my politics. I am a whole nother person on top of the politics. And I wish our elected leaders would do the right thing and show this unity that they post about on social media, but don't actually do. You want to preach unity, preach it on this station. Come on this show. Go on David Bellavia's show. Be able to talk with people that you disagree with. Again, Lead by example. County executive polling cars, we know you don't like Republicans. You tell us every day on social media. But lead by example. You could still talk to the Republican members of the legislature. Sean Ryan, I know you don't like the way I covered your campaign or lack thereof. Again, come on here and tell me why I'm wrong. Don't call me on my phone. Come and tell me why I'm wrong. Let's have a conversation. Lead by example. There's only so much I can do. There's only so much our elected officials, and yes, that includes the president, our elected officials need to have those discussions. And I would applaud Speaker Johnson and the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, showing some support, President Trump. But it is interesting. Again, I'm not seeing Adam Schiff. I'm not seeing Charles Schumer. I'm not seeing anyone else look in the mirror and address their side of the aisle, except for John Fetterman, who we'll talk about next. It's a Beamer on WBEN. Hey, welcome back on this Monday, talking about, well, the reaction from some to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And like I said, I got to put this disclaimer out for a third time. Most teachers are amazing people, right? I have teachers in my family. I live with a teacher. I have nothing against teachers. But the amount of educators nationwide that have been put on leave or suspended because of the vile, disgusting things they said celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that's concerning to me. And I'd like to know what you think. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Alton in North Collins. Alton, your thoughts.
My thoughts is, I mean, he was a father and a husband at first, you know, and for somebody to take him out, you know, just because they didn't agree with his words is just insane. I'm just tired of seeing this stuff. And you know, and the left keeps on saying, well, it's on both sides. I don't see, I know a lot of people. I don't see nobody on my side, you know, going out and shooting people, you know. I mean, and beating up on people, burning buildings down and stuff like that. All I see is on the left and the range. And you know, it's just these left-wing people. I mean, they just, you know, they've gone mad, you know.
Well, I mean, just look at the way, you know, I was last Wednesday. I was angry. And I'm still really angry over what happened. And look, where were conservatives this weekend? They were at church. They were holding vigils. Right. They were, they were at sporting events. And there were moments of silence for Charlie Kirk. We had a way to deal with our, and I think rightfully, and by the way, I think everyone should be angry. I think liberals should be angry about what happened to Charlie Kirk. Again, take the politics away. Alton said it. You said it perfectly. He was a father and a husband first. And that is, you should be angry that two kids had their father taken away from them because he was debating people's politics.
But also, people are posting on Facebook fake stuff too, because somebody posted that there was going to be a thing on the 21st at Highmark Stadium, Al, and it's, you know, they're posting fake stuff for this guy died, and they're posting fake stuff. They're posting
Fake stuff, especially with the AI now, Alton, where you get a picture that looks real. It's that's concerning too, and the amount of people that fall for it is scary. It's really scary.
Well, see, the thing of it is, I would go to something like that.
Of course.
True, but the thing of it is it's like people are playing on people's emotions because
yes.
They know, you know, they're putting false stuff on there and saying, well, you know, come celebrate Charles' life. And it's like, oh, this is fake. And it's like, why are people posting stuff like that? And then they, you know, and it's like, and he's a father. And he was a father. He was a husband. He was a brother. You know, he was a son, an uncle,
yeah,
a nephew, you know, I mean.
I know they had a really, I believe they had a nice vigil for him last night. And that was, it was beautiful to see all the vigils, but it still makes me very angry what happened.
Yeah.
What happened? Hey, Elton, I appreciate the call in North Collins. And yeah, I mean, on social media, the amount of fake stuff that people fall for, you have that. You have the AI videos and pictures that I admit are getting better. But, you know, just before you repost something, because Elton does have a point there, before you post something, just make sure you know it's true. I see a lot of, like, reposts of stuff that, yeah, you wish it was true, right? I mean, some stuff I don't, but some stuff you wish was true. But just, you know, do just the basic research. To make sure something's true. You know, there's a lot of times I'll have that button pressed and I'll be like, you know, Joe, let's just make sure that we're not passing along fake information. And I think with the way social media is now in 2025, we all have a duty to our fellow American to just make sure what we're reposting is factual. Let's go to Darlene in Lewiston. Hey, Darlene.
Yes. I'll start off by saying I am a retired teacher, but this is my opinion. I'm sure many people will agree and others will not, but I think the teachers who were caught are apologizing because they were caught, as you have repeatedly said. And if they do that on Facebook or whatever venue they choose to use, just imagine what they say on a regular basis in the classroom. That's the scary part.
That's my main concern. Yeah.
And the teachers who are coming out of college now have been indoctrinated for years.
Darlene, when you were teaching, I mean, did you see, you know, teachers that tried to put their politics into the classroom?
Never.
So this is more of a recent phenomenon, would you say?
Well, I have to say yes, because I can't even recall any kids when I went to school bringing a phone. Yeah. I mean, I've been retired for 12 years, so, you know, time has passed and the world has changed, unfortunately. But I have the TV on and there's the AOC and the other one, I can't recall her name right now, but just, you know, nuts. In a way, celebrating, or, you know, what do you expect from someone who lies like this and says all these negative things? And I'm really very sorry that I wasn't more aware of him. Same thing when Rush Limbaugh, I listened to him maybe the last 6 months of his life. I wish I had listened to him from day one, and that's what Charlie did. He said when he was in high school, at lunchtime, he would go out to the car or wherever, and listen to Rush Limbaugh. I mean, he's a brilliant man, and he didn't go to college, but the knowledge that he had, and a lot of it, I think people, and I can't say certainty what percentage of his time was spent on politics, but I listened to something on the phone last night where a young girl was, well, it had to do with abortion and how she didn't think a baby in the womb was not a person until it was born. So this was a lengthy debate that they had back and forth. But you're not going to change those people's minds.
No,
that's the sad part. That's the scary part.
It is, but, you know, I mean, Darlene, I just want to get to a place where we can have our different opinions and we don't get called names. There's no threats of violence. You know what I mean? Just, I want to be able to express my opinion and not be called a fascist or not, you know, I don't want, you know, the Clay Travises or the Ben Shapiros of the world to be at threat because they have an opinion. Again, the beauty of this country is we all have our different opinions and we should be free to express them without fear of violence.
You would think, you would hope.
Hey, Darlene, appreciate the call. Thank you, Darlene in Lewiston, 803-0930, *930. Let's go. This is Senator John Fetterman. Seems to be the only one that's regularly talking sense again on the on Senate. From my point of view, and this is what John Fetterman had to say to CNN over the weekend.
When I represent a state like Pennsylvania, that keeps you honest. And you always can't forget that a lot of Americans happen to disagree with you. That does not mean that they are fascists or now they want to shred the Constitution.
But when you hear some Democrats saying Trump is acting like an autocrat.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. If you actually compare him to an actual autocrat, that is not just that. Now, last night, for example, people were complaining. They were protesting about, oh, that's the Hitler thing. You just don't ever compare anyone to Hitler and those kinds of extreme things. And now look what happened to Charlie Kirk. I mean, you know, the man was shot. Now, we have to turn the temperature down. It's like we can't compare people to these kinds of figures in history. And this is not an autocrat. This is a product of a democratic election. It's like I participated in that. It was safe and it was secure. We lost. And the America people put us in the minority. And now that's democracy. And I revere democracy. I may not like the outcome, but I have to respect that. And I have to find and work through this. And now, and that, you know, I do believe that's what's appropriate.
So you don't think that Trump is at all shattering any of the norms of democracy in any way?
I'm saying he's definitely different, but that's what America voted for. Again, I don't agree with many of these things, but that does not make him an autocrat. That does not make someone or, you know, compare him to people like Hitler and these other outlandish things.
Again, Senator John Fetterman calling out his party. The sad thing is, in my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong, but the sad thing is that, you know, you're going to continue to see people call people elected officials, right? I don't care about the people at the No Kings rally. I'm talking about the elected officials. They're the ones that need to turn the temperature down. They're the ones that are fueling and throwing gas on the fire. I guarantee in the next few weeks, you're going to hear an elected Democrat call Trump Hitler, call him a Nazi, call him a fascist. It's not going to stop. And you know, the point I tried to make yesterday is, you know, Democrats have been calling Republicans Hitler for 20 years. George Bush was Hitler. Mitt Romney was a sexist and a racist, right? I mean, this is nothing new. These have been the attacks. And I applaud John Fetterman for saying, hold on. He's not shattering democracy. He's not Hitler. He was elected in the democratic process. It is funny, the party of democracy wants to talk about democracy when they said, hey, you got to vote for Kamala Harris. We're not giving you a choice. So I applaud John Fetterman, and I wish other, again, how many times in that clip did John Fetterman say, he said he didn't agree with the president? That's fine. It's a disagreement. That's what our politics are, a disagreement. And John Fetterman said that several times in that 95-second clip, but he didn't go to use these buzzwords. Again, if you call someone a Nazi, if you call someone a fascist, if you call someone the enemy to democracy, and you've got someone that is just taking all this in, they're in their echo chamber, and you, an elected official, are calling the president of the United States a Nazi, you're calling his followers Nazi, then someone who might be mentally ill, takes that as gospel, gets a hold of a gun, and you see what happens. So turning down the temperature is not just pointing the finger at the other side. It's looking in the mirror and saying, what can we do? I just, beside John Fetterman, I'm not seeing that from elected Democrats. And again, I did like some of the things that Congressman Kennedy said, but I'd like to see that in action on the floor of Congress. And I'd like to see John Fetterman say this face-to-face to the Democratic Party. Because, you know, midterms are coming up. You think they're done saying fascist? You think they're done saying Nazi or Hitler? Like I said, I hope they are. I hope we don't hear those expressions again. Let's just communicate what it is we disagree with. I'm talking as if I were a Democrat. I mean, is the problem that you go to Hitler, Nazi, fascist all the time because you can't communicate the message? That seems like a problem within the party. That, you know what I mean? But I think John Fetterman's 100% correct. And again, I applaud him for saying it. Let's go to Lancaster, and that's where we find Fred. Hey, Fred, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, we have a problem. We have, like, a large proportion of our people are hypersensitive. And I'm watching these political shows and on CNN, MS, I watch all the stations, and you have pundits and you have politicians saying what Charlie Kirk said was reprehensible and repulsive, but he shouldn't, nothing should happen. But the commentators never go, well, what did he say that was reprehensible? Is
right.
it illegal, shouldn't be here? Wow, then guess what? I'm offensive. Is it transgender shouldn't be competing in women's sports? Then I'm offensive. He had a very good tone. He never had a belligerent tone. And these people that say what he said was offensive or abhorrent should explain what he said, because you're probably picking out 55% of the people, and all you're doing is just hitting talking points. You're not articulating a position on why you oppose this guy's opinions.
Exactly. And by the way, you know, a lot of stuff that they say was offensive, like you said. I mean, men shouldn't play in women's sports. I don't know how that's offensive. And a lot of things I've seen, they've been clipped and they've been taken out of context. But just so we're clear, because you're offended doesn't make it wrong. I think that needs to be a point that many on the political left don't understand. Just because you might take offense to something doesn't mean the statement is wrong. It doesn't mean that person can't have the opinion.
Oh, I agree. But what scares me is when you have the media that doesn't even bother asking what did he say that was – please point out
exactly.
what he said that was offensive.
Exactly.
You know, that way we could take it from there. Otherwise, you're just hypersensitive.
Yeah. I mean
– you're using political talking points.
But that's how they label all of us, right? Any opinion you and I have, Fred, it's offensive. It's I mean, they'll use every buzzword they can, and then they'll run away. They're not gonna elaborate, you know. And that's part of the problem. They don't elaborate. They don't really communicate their differences. It's just the buzzwords, and they're gone.
And that's part of the problem.
It's a big problem.
As long as you keep fostering that mentality. And I would say one of the biggest problems are we don't have, I don't know, like talk shows that focus on both sides, where you have like a Crossfire or a Nightline, where you have one side and another side and a moderator, you know, and it's a fair, even debate. The only debates that happen are before elections. We should be having debates all around the on issues all around the whole year, not
Fred,
just during election time.
Fred, CNN, who is just, you know, cratering in ratings, would be so smart to bring back Crossfire. But the problem is the audience they have left would hate the idea of it. But Crossfire was one of my favorite cable news shows. Crossfire, bring back, you know, I mean, Alan Combs is no longer with us, but Hannity and Combs, I mean, you're right. The days of those shows, unfortunately, are gone.
And likewise, the days of our civility and the days of independent thought have gone along with it.
Yeah, no. Hey, Fred, got to go to a break. Appreciate the call. I will say this. I will give credit to Chris Cuomo. I can't believe I'm giving credit to Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo has those debates, right? He has O'Reilly on there, Stephen A. Smith on there, Jim Jordan's on there a lot. He has those debates. And I would, you know, Fox, The Five. Again, I love when Harold Ford's on there. He's probably my favorite Democrat on Fox, next to Leslie Marshall, because I do love Leslie. But, you know, Fox has it with The Five. I would like to see more of a Crossfire. Crossfire was great. And I think now more than ever, we could bring... CNN would actually see a bump in ratings if they got rid of Casey Hunt and put on Crossfire where it belongs at 4 o'clock. That would be... I agree with Fred. That would be great if we could see Crossfire on TV again. 803-0930, start 930. Back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yes. REO Speedwagon. Monster Ballads. That is the theme this week from the compilation album, Monster Ballads. You remember that. 803-0930, star 930. Talking about, again, these educators that have been caught posting despicable things online about Charlie Kirk's death, and you know, school saying we don't want someone who's going to run the social media and post that teaching children. I think that's fair, and I will definitely take a dissenting opinion. 803-0930 star 930 gets you on the show. Sean in Tonawanda has been holding on through the break. Sean, thanks for hanging on.
Good morning, sir. I think that, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
First time talking to you, I believe. Well, you know, what it all boils down to is indoctrination. It's been going on from the lowest levels, from elementary school to middle school to high school to college. And this is what is the result. What happens after a period of time where, you know, these young, impressionable people, they start to believe these things.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you've been in an echo chamber for your whole schooling, right? I mean, some of these colleges are echo chambers for liberals. I've always said it when you get out of college, it makes it really your reaction to a differing opinion because you haven't heard it for so many years. And we see the result of that on social media all the time.
Well, what's frustrating is that apparently. There's no option of listening to the other side. You know, I feel as though we try to listen to the other side, but for some reason, the other side does not want to hear anything, and then here we are.
I mean, listen to the other side, Sean. That was Charlie Kirk's, that was his whole shtick, right? I mean, he went to campuses and listened to the other side. He invited debate. I mean... Again, what we should be doing in this country. He was doing what a lot of our elected officials should be doing in this country. And he was assassinated for it. I mean, it's a really dark time. And I think you're right. We are conservatives are always open to hearing the other side. And Sean, let's be honest, we're forced to hear the other side. It's everywhere.
Well, you should always listen to the other side.
You should.
Because otherwise, what do you have? You have to listen to both sides.
You should.
That's what America is all about.
as I said, I there are times I turn on MSNBC or CNN because I want to hear what they're saying. I am very confident in my opinion. I want to hear what the other opinion is. I mean, how can I be confident in my opinion if I can't hear what the other side's saying?
Well, that makes sense because you can learn from each other. And for some reason, I don't know why it is, no one wants to learn from either side. And that's the problem.
It is a huge problem, Sean. I'll tell you this. I will do everything I can locally to bring as many differing opinions onto this station as possible, just so, you know, we can hear from each other and communicate with one another. I think it's super important if we want to turn this ship around.
Yes, sir. And that ship definitely needs to be turned around. Otherwise, we're going to crash into the rocks.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Sean, appreciate the call. By the way, he said ship. We said ship, S-H-I-P. Don't need anyone reporting us. 803-0930, star 930. By the way, as we've been on the air, the University of Tennessee, Rocky Top, has fired a faculty member who celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination in the state of Tennessee. Here is what it says. The university has taken swift action against a faculty member who has failed to meet our expectations for civil engagement. Her actions endorsing violence and murder do not represent the university or our values. The faculty member is out of the classroom, placed on administrative leave, and termination proceedings have begun. Teaching and shaping the lives of young people is core to the mission of the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. We have a great responsibility as educators of America's future leaders to make sure students have a healthy educational environment in which to learn, wrestle with difficult issues, and express themselves civilly. We take that responsibility seriously. That is from the University of Tennessee. And then after that, Clemson announces that it has fired faculty members for celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. This is what the university, or Clemson University, just put out. Following an immediate and deliberate investigation into inappropriate social media content, Clemson today terminated an employee due to their social media posts. After being notified on Friday to stay out of the classroom, two faculty members now have been removed from their teaching duties pending investigation for termination. The university will continue to follow required process with urgency. As these are personnel matters, no further details are available at this time. Clemson University's commitment to the safety and well-being of our campus community remains our top priority. That from two Southern universities coming out in the last hour, taking swift action. Again, I think we should all be able to communicate our opinions. I think there's a problem if you are celebrating someone's death. If you are celebrating the assassination of somebody, I think that's a problem. And again, I don't want you in the classroom because if that's how you feel about someone you disagree with being assassinated, I can only think of the stuff that you say to your classroom. And again, I don't care, liberal or conservative, I don't need you telling, you know, children where your politics are. Your politics do not belong in the classroom. And I think, again, a majority of teachers agree with that and follow that. But if you're online celebrating about Charlie Kirk, again, celebrating about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, again, I can only imagine what you're saying to your students. So, I mean, that's where we are. And we've had several local school districts put people on leave. We'll continue to follow that. And, you know, again, let's turn down the temperature. That's what we have to do. And it takes our elected officials. And that starts with conversation. You have to lead by example. Are you going to have a conversation with someone on the other side? Or are you going to go to the microphone and call them a fascist? Now, speaking of talking with the other side, I have not brought this up to my bosses, so they'll be very interested to hear what I'm about to say. But there is a protest in October. I think it's going to be like No Kings, where there's a ton of them. I am thinking it is time for Man on the Street, where I go with a microphone. We probably will leave the mic flag at the studio, Tanner. Probably won't bring the mic flag with us. But go to the protest and just ask, what are you protesting? What do you mean when you say he's a fascist? What's your sign say? I think that's fair. We'll get the reaction and we'll play it back either on this show or on Hardline. And, you know, it's part of having that conversation, part of discussion. And fortunately, I follow a lot of people who were talking about that protest. So I have the dates. I have the location. And again, I think it's time for Joe Beamer to take the mic and go back on the street from one of these protests. And we will question the people who are out there protesting. Now, I wanted to get to this today, but we're not going to have time, so we'll do this tomorrow. But the Buffalo News, I'm going to use this exact same setup tomorrow at 1, unless, you know, I don't. But this is what else I wanted to talk about today. The Buffalo News had an article this morning, Buffalo mayoral candidates ramp up campaigns. State Senator Sean Ryan, who emerged from a field at one point, had 11 candidates to win the Democratic primary in June. Becoming the party nominee is the clear favorite to win in a city with heavy enrollment for Democrats. But to become the first elected mayor to occupy the second floor at City Hall since former Mayor Byron Brown began his historic five-term run, he will have to fend off James Gardner and Michael Gaynor, who is running on the Restore line, James Gardner on the Republican line. Our friend, Professor Jacob Neuheisel, said that while there is always a chance for underdogs to win, all the typical indicators is the likeliest winner is Ryan. Now, this goes on. Remember, the headline was, Buffalo mayoral candidates ramp up campaigns. Ramp up campaigns? Where has Sean Ryan been? The guy hasn't posted on social media in a month. He isn't talking to 247. He's not talking to the Buffalo News. Unless he... Oh, here we go. He has talked to the Buffalo News. He says, since shortly after his primary victory, Ryan has resumed the intense campaign schedule he was on months leading up to June. I've barely stopped since the primary. I've been out on the streets. I've been doing radio interviews. Where? Where have you been doing radio interviews? I'm sitting right here. Unless you were on Tom or David's show, I don't know of any radio interview. I know there's another radio station. I don't know if they have local content. So I don't know where these radio interviews are. He's talking about all this stuff. Where have you been? You haven't posted on social media. You haven't talked. He says TV interviews. The last time he was even mentioned on local TV that I can remember, he gave a press release. The guy's been running the Joe Biden campaign. And then over the weekend, we have the break-ins in the city of Buffalo. And we had the break-in to a downtown business. Now, again, whoever the next mayor is, your job is going to try to get business to start coming back into Buffalo, not leaving Buffalo. A huge problem in the city of Buffalo is businesses are leaving downtown Buffalo. So this was a business downtown, and they put this on Sunday morning. We were a victim of another crackhead breaking the windows and breaking in. So when will something be done downtown? It's ridiculous. Buffalo needs to do better. We work our butts off to have someone come and do this, and it's not the first time, and this has to be the third time in a year. And then you wonder why businesses are closing downtown. This will not stop us, and they were promoting their party for the Bills game. But this is a business that is trying to do everything to stay downtown. And, you know, again, I know Sean Ryan doesn't want to talk about it. But if you're going to be the mayor of Buffalo, you're going to have to address the crime. And a lot of people are saying that the reason for some of the crime is your bail reform that you signed off on, raise the age, which you signed off on. Again, you did this in state senate. Like, you're going to run to be the mayor of Buffalo. You need to answer for what you did as senator. And again, I've tried numerous times to get him on Hardline, to get him on this show. You're running for mayor of Buffalo. And yes, it looks like you're probably going to be the mayor of Buffalo. I think James Gardner and Michael Gaynor are doing a heck of a job staying out there, getting in front of every camera they can get in front of, being on this station. But Sean Ryan, if you want to be the mayor, and if you're taking the job seriously, then at some point you're eventually going to have to answer, what are you going to do to clean up the crime? What are you going to do to make downtown Buffalo a destination? Main Street in downtown Buffalo is empty. I was told bringing cars back, we're going to bring people back downtown. That hasn't happened. Main Place Mall is completely empty. What's going to happen with that property? These are, I think, fair questions. And, you know, my focus has a lot to do with downtown. You got to have answers. You know, the Buffalo whatever board approved Shays to get their expansion, even though the neighbors are complaining, yet the Bisons can't get a party deck approved by the city of Buffalo. The Bisons, the one thing that actually happens regularly downtown in the summer, and the city of Buffalo pushed back on them. So those are some questions I would have, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. Maybe we'll get James Gardner on to give his thoughts. But coming up next, it is Tom Bowerly. Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. Coming up after 3, we're going to talk with the guy who's involved in the North Tonawanda vigil for Charlie Kirk, Chris Preston. He'll be here with us right after 3 o'clock. And then later on, going to continue the discussion about the crying over the people who've been fired for their posts mocking the assassination or praising the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I find it interesting how the media is giving these firings a lot of coverage and a lot of sympathy, these poor people. But if you just do a simple search for fired over George Floyd social media posts, a lot of people were fired over George Floyd. I do not remember the media taking great umbrage with that.
No, and they've been so dishonest, Tom. I saw the Chyron on CNN this morning when I was working out down the street. It said backlash for Kirk's critics. It's not Kirk's critics. And that's so misleading to be a headline. It's people celebrating the assassination.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into this, obviously, on my show. I know you've already covered a lot of these points. And, you know, I also want to talk about the social media aspect of Charlie Kirk in terms of the people listening to the show. Have any of your, without naming them, of course, have any of your social media friends surprised you with their reaction to the Kirk assassination? Have you unfriended those people? And maybe sent them a little message about why you are unfriending them, because, you know, you're kind of known by the company you keep.
For sure. And I am not known for unfriending or blocking, Tom. And in the last 5 days, I have blocked 5 people. And it's just because I don't need that crap on my feed. I don't care if you have a differing opinion. I can't have someone celebrating the assassination. I cannot be associated with that person.
Did you see the video of the kid going through the Charlie Kirk memorial?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw several like that. I also saw the mayor of a town in New Jersey try to shut down a Charlie Kirk vigil.
Oh, that's right. New York and New Jersey decided not to order the flags to half staff.
That's right. But I will give a shout out to the Jets. They did a moment of silence before the game yesterday. Very classy.
Indeed. And we'll take calls after 3 o'clock on this on News Radio 930 WBEN, entering some very interesting times.
For sure, Tom. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I want to thank you for the calls, the texts. I want to thank you for choosing to listen today. And don't touch that dial. Tom Bowerly is up next. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.